Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump denying a letter and drawing attributed to him from so-called birthday book presented to convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein on the occasion of Epstein's 50th birthday. It was released by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee last night. The U.S. Supreme Court giving immigration agents the okay to resume raids in Los Angeles and saying pulling people over based on their race, accent, or line of work is legal.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor dissenting, writing, "We should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work a low-wage job." But Justice Brett Kavanaugh saying such factors taken together can constitute at least reasonable suspicion of illegal presence in the United States.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The Israeli military urging a full evacuation of Gaza City ahead of the planned offensive. Ukrainian President Zelensky says a bomb attack in eastern Ukraine killed 21 people, pensioners, waiting for their checks. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is sharing online safety tips with families as kids head back to school. Parents should remember to be cautious about what information they share about their family on social media sites, especially during back-to-school season, and to speak with their children about the dangers of entering personal information details into alleged contests or giveaways. Better Business Bureau officials are also advising parents to consider monitoring app downloads or using parental controls to help keep their kids safe online. Republican state lawmakers began circulating legislation aimed at eliminating state income tax on overtime earnings last week. The proposed bill would create a state income tax subtraction for overtime earnings. State Senator Rob Hutton, one of the co-authors of the legislation, says the legislation would more closely align Wisconsin's income tax code with the updated federal income tax code. The state lawmakers also say the legislation will allow workers to keep more of what they've earned and support employers across multiple sectors. The Cameron Senior Center is inviting older residents to a free cognitive wellness program over the next few weeks. The free 7-week program will be offered through the Aging and Disability Resource Center and seeks to help older residents maintain their cognitive functions. The classes will be held on Wednesdays from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Cameron Senior Center beginning on September 17th. Space in the program is limited, so organization officials are encouraging interested residents to register as soon as possible to secure their spot. Ashland area residents are being invited to participate in the local Walk to End Alzheimer's event. The walk will take place on September 20th at Central Rail Yard Park in Ashland. The goal is to raise awareness about how the incurable disease affects both the individuals and the families who care for them. Donations are not required to attend the event, but the funding raised will go towards Alzheimer's care and research. According to the Alzheimer's Association, there are over 110,000 Wisconsin residents with Alzheimer's. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0, but one bright spot was the return of Christian Yelich to the lineup. Yelich had missed the past 5 games with a bad back. Pat Murphy after the game.
Yeah, he's on it. It was a great day for him. Came up kind of empty, got him one hit, but he hit two other balls that, you know, they're homers in some parks.
NFL, the Packers host the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I asked Micah Parsons how he was holding up after just a week to get ready for the Lions game.
Physically, obviously draining. That was like my first game of just constant snaps, repetition, things like that. So obviously I got to, you know, recover, do everything I need to do to get ready for Thursday. But emotionally, I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans. You know, I told J-Love that's our first one, and I can't wait to keep stacking them.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. A slow-moving frontal boundary will generate a few showers and maybe a couple of thunder showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with highs in the upper 60s. A shower thunderstorm still lingering tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low of 57. Currently, it's 62.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my
goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Sugared soda or diet soda? What's worse, Mr. Jeff Perry?
Sugared sodas are worse.
Really?
I think that Coke Zero is better than regular Coke.
Kurt, listen on MDX of Madison.
Diet sodas are terrible because it fools the brain in producing insulin. If you don't care about your body, go for it.
Jeffrey says, I think it's pretty obvious that I don't.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It's 8:06 now. Good morning. Nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 9th, 2025. Parker Olson producing us down there in Madison Studio A2. Coming up, our Tuesday tag team of Capital Corridor Correspondence with Cam Stevenson standing by live in Washington, D.C. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area covering the Wisconsin legislature will join us at the bottom of the hour. But first, let's get a quick update of the weather forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, where yesterday's picture perfect sunny, breezy conditions have been replaced with clouds and some rain, especially the further north you go. It just looks a little messy up there this morning on the shore.
It sure does. Flash flood warning in the Ashland area still for another hour and a half. Highway 2 got about 1.5 to 3 inches, and there's still more rain on the way today. Also, a beach hazard statement from Door County through Sheboygan. High waves and rip currents out there, about 3 to 5 feet. What we're looking at this morning, 45 degrees in Wautoma, 54 in Milwaukee, and 64 degrees in Eau Claire. So a 30-degree temperature spread. Clear skies south in the state, more clouds north in the state. We've got showers going on up north that are going to continue through this afternoon and then become more widespread as we go through this evening. Now that's going to stay north in the state, Madison, Milwaukee area. You're not looking at any rainfall until possibly tomorrow morning, but I do think a lot of that's going to dissipate and not even make its way to you. So rain up north could be heavy at times, no severe storms. Highs today in the mid-60s north to mid-70s south.
But then we get summer back.
We do. As soon as Thursday and into Friday, we're looking at highs hitting 80. We're going to climb to the mid-80s over the weekend. Mugginess returns. Summer weather for sure.
I don't think I've ever used this term for the weather, but that forecast is luscious. Love it. That's great.
Yes.
It's still summer. Let's bring some. Make summer summer again. There we go.
Yes.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Day. We'll talk to you later. Again, a reminder, sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. And by the way, if you missed anything that we did over the first 2 hours, you can pod this program. Head over to Spotify right now and follow us, maybe Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And that way it's always on your device, always handy. We are in a world of subscriptions right now. So subscribe to this show. And then when you're done with that, get over to Substack, because there are things to subscribe to there as well. Like Below the Beltway, the newest newsletter from Courier Newsroom, done. You can also find it at beltway.news, done by Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who is our newest correspondent up there on Capitol Hill and joins us this time on Tuesdays going forward. Cam, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Pat. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, you know, and you're getting all settled in. You made the move from Arizona over the summer. There wasn't any too much of a hazing ritual by the Capitol Press Corps or anything. They've welcomed you with open arms, I hope.
More or less. There's still the the occasional at the stoplight they'll look over, rev their engine, then go in reverse. But sure. Other than that, things have been pretty friendly.
All right, good. Glad to hear. So Cam has come to us after years at the Copper Courier in Arizona, and so he's got a little bit of experience in law enforcement and racial profiling. The kind of thing that's not supposed to be a thing. And as I mentioned earlier in the morning, what in my mind is an earthquake of a decision by the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. It should be a big story all across, and that I knew we were going to wait till you were here to get to it. The short version is, in my words, the six justices on the U.S. Supreme Court in a shadow docket ruling mean they've said nothing about where this ruling came from in terms of being placed in law. We don't know where they're coming from a legal standpoint, but at least temporarily, they have said when it comes to racial profiling for the purposes of these immigration raids, hey, fine with us. That, racial profiling has made some kind of a comeback. And Cam, you've had some experience with that in Arizona.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's first the use of the shadow docket is such a cowardly way to go about this, which is where they put out an order, but they don't put their names to it or give any distinction as to what this order actually means as far as our Constitution. So is racial profiling constitutional now? Have they changed the Fourth Amendment? We don't know, but we do know that they are allowing law enforcement to racially profile in Los Angeles right now, which in previous constitutional law, previous Supreme Court rulings have declared this to be against the Fourth Amendment, which is the right to not be unreasonably searched and seized by the police or by law enforcement. Whereas previously, this was seizing someone based on their race, based on how they looked, was unreasonable. And the current Supreme Court no longer thinks that, apparently.
No, and the funny thing is, you've heard the term search and seizure for years and years and years, and you always focus on the search part of it. We're now at the seizing part of it, where without necessarily any cause or any due process, people are literally being seized off the streets in a dragnet. And then the burden is on you to prove that you're here legally. It's the papers please kind of authoritarianism that we thought was impossible to bring back in this country. And yet it's here. And Arizona, of course, had a notorious sheriff who, got his hand slapped legally more than a few times for some of his practices.
Yeah, he was once known as the toughest sheriff in America. He was one of Donald Trump's first pardons back in 2017.
Yes, I believe. The Joe Arpaio pardon. That's right.
Joe Arpaio, he's the one, and he was pardoned based on some of the he was being held in contempt for a continuation of these practices, where there was a law passed in Arizona back almost 20 years ago. It was called SB 1070, is the Show Me Your Papers law, where police could stop anyone for any reason and demand to be seen documentation for proof that they were a documented resident, whether an immigrant or a citizen or anything. This went through a ton of court battles, where eventually the Supreme Court ruled that this was unconstitutional, that people couldn't be stopped just based on how they looked. And Arpaio and his sheriff's department were found to be racially profiling. Now, that didn't stop them from doing it for years and years while it was making its way through the courts. But what it did do is have some very, I would say, unintended consequences for the right in what these Show Me Your Papers laws did is the same thing we're seeing now in Los Angeles, where it's igniting thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people into activism, where they don't want this. They don't like this. They don't like being racially profiled. They don't like their friends being stopped. They don't like, when they're going out with someone, just to go get dinner or something, for their friend to say, hey, do you think you could drive because you're less likely to get pulled over because you're white? Because that's the sort of thing that happens. And so what these blatantly immoral laws, whether or not the Supreme Court deems them to be constitutional, but these immoral laws breed activism. And in Arizona, we have seen an incredible surge of people drawn away from the right and towards progressive policies because they saw their parents getting arrested. They saw their friends' parents or their teachers going to jail or having to go through the court system, not because they did anything wrong, but just because of the way they looked.
Right. And that's the point. And what you're hearing from the Trump administration is, well, if they're here legally, they don't have anything to fear. And Justice John Roberts, quite shamefully, had said that, well, this is not a major inconvenience, because obviously for a white guy like him, he won't have to go through being slammed to the ground and having to prove that he's a citizen after being detained for hours, if not longer. And yet this is the kind of thing that John Roberts and others have been backing up. We also have our Sunday newsletter with a question of the week. And this time around, it's about the Epstein files. And we ask, is Donald Trump protecting himself? Is he protecting someone else? Or is he blackmailing someone else? And Cam, I know we started to talk about this last week with Congress back in session. The Trump administration is trying to wish away the Epstein files. But as of today, it's still very much a live topic on Capitol Hill, why the Trump administration isn't releasing more information.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, first and foremost, I don't think it has anything to do with a moral quandary. I don't think Donald Trump feels guilty about anything in general ever. Least of all this, hiding past transgressions. I think for him, it's more about power and control. He's someone who enjoys controlling the news cycle, controlling the narrative. He likes having that power. That's why he enjoys the highest position in the world. Isn't because he likes to be diplomatic or he has an interest in governing, but because the world is forced to pay attention to him. And this, what is happening with Jeffrey Epstein's case and people's frustration with it, is it's a narrative about him, but he doesn't control it. And so I think first and foremost, he just wants it gone because it bothers him that he can't have that control. I think there is potential for blackmail. I think that's why he had, or his Department of Justice had, you know, 1,000 FBI agents go through the files that they had gotten on Epstein, both redacting his name and making lists of any other names that are in there. I think that's useful for blackmail. That's useful for coercion. And it's useful for power and controlling the narrative, which, again, is, you know, his favorite pastime.
Cam Stevenson, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, is talking to us live from Washington, D.C. on this Tuesday morning. The Rose Garden is no longer a garden. I wondered, now that it's essentially been, you know, bulldozed over and being used for, you know, dinners where the corruption is kind of right out there in the open, as you see Donald Trump trying to enrich himself. But I wondered, have there been alternative uses? Have you been invited yet? Like, are they doing roller skating around the patio now or anything like that? I mean, that was almost surreal, even by Washington press corps standards, watching the Rose Garden turned into just like Mar-a-Lago North and just being used as a patio dining set.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what it's not being used for. It's not being used for free meal programs for low-income families or as temporary housing for the people who Donald Trump has pushed out of the district because they didn't have a place to live. But it is a very symbolic location now for wealth and for the upper class, and as a symbol that the White House is a purchasable good, being able to gain favor. If I remember correctly, this renovation, I guess you'd call it, or even the ballroom they're building, it's not paid for by tax dollars. It's something that special interests can donate money to essentially gain favor with the president. And right. So it's, you know, it was a rose garden for the people, and now it's a walled garden for the elite.
It really is. And people go, well, you know, private dollars are paying for it. Yeah, there's some things you don't want private dollars paying for because of the potential for corruption. You can read more from Cam Stevenson in Below the Beltway, the newsletter that you can get at beltway.news or through couriernewsroom.com. Cam, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Sounds good. And coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, covering Wisconsin state government as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back on this Tuesday morning. It is 8:22, just about 8:23 now. It is 63 degrees in La Crosse, 57 in Oshkosh, and 61 degrees at Brothers Bar on Water Street. Yeah, we're back on Water Street again for a story about the Magic Man. Parker, if I say the Magic Man, again, I don't know how much of this is a youth thing. How many Packer fans still know the Magic Man?
Yeah, Magikowski.
Do you know who you're? Yeah, Don Majkowski. Okay, there you go. This was a few days back, but I hadn't had a chance to talk about it yet, about how a former Packer quarterback, according to the story from WQOW, was cited for disorderly conduct after an alleged bar disturbance on Water Street in Eau Claire. Police were called to Brothers Bar around 11 p.m. back on August 29th for an undesirable person. The caller said a man refused to leave the bar after choking an employee. Officer spoke with the man, identified as Don Majkowski, outside the bar. He told police that he was jumped because boyfriends of the girls at the bar were jealous of him because he was a former NFL player. We need the Mo Green soundbite that goes from The Godfather going, "You know who I am." Because that's exactly what this was. So a bartender tries to break up the fight, and the bartender says Majkowski grabbed his throat. A picture with the police report shows red marks on the bartender's neck after the incident. Police cited Majkowski for disorderly conduct. Police said he was extremely intoxicated and unable to unlock his phone to contact an Uber. Police drove him to the Best Western, where he said he was staying. Police later were called back because Majkowski wasn't staying at that Best Western. He was staying at a different Best Western hotel. Makowski, for those who don't know, played for the Packers from 1987 to 1992. He got the nickname the Magic Man. He was, in 1989, selected to the Pro Bowl, the first one who'd been to the Pro Bowl since Bart Starr. You know, had a lot of potential there for a while, till he didn't. And Brett Favre came along not that much later. And now, for whatever reason, Don Mikowski's drinking at a bar on water, a college bar on Water Street in Eau Claire, getting in fights.
Weirdly enough, I actually saw a video of this.
You did?
Because, okay. Yeah, on Twitter, there was somebody within kind of the community-ish that I guess I'm near, who ran into him and like took a picture with him and like had a video of him talking to cops. Like, I didn't. Okay. I wasn't sure it was him. I'm kind of surprised that it actually was him, to be honest with you, from who it came from on Twitter.
Well, and again, you see the report going, hey, you know, essentially, do you know who I am? And saying that that's why the boyfriends were jealous, because I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can already envision the discussion he was having to the girls, and that the girls did not want, you know, creepy old man talking about how I could throw a football over a mountain back in the day, you know. Uncle Rico was hanging out with the Magic Man at a bar on Water Street, and this happens.
Was adults, like actual like parents in bars, a thing at all when you were in college? Because that happens every now and then, and it's a weird sighting.
Adults in bars?
Yeah, like in college bars.
Oh, like grown, like older,
like,
people,
like
in
parents
college bars.
In, yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, if it's a parent, then that's one thing. It's like, oh, look, you know, mom and dad had to hang around for so-and-so. Oh, we just want to see where you hang out. You know, that's one thing. That's one category. The other category is, yeah, creepy old guy.
Yeah.
And by old guy, I mean like 33, 35, you know, and up, who's probably got a Camaro parked outside and, you know, is still trying to live glory days. I mean, Bruce Springsteen wrote the song for a reason, you know?
True. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, when you see that, and even if it's a bar where it's all, you know, all pretty much like, you know, adults, or older adults or whatever, there's always that ick factor when, you know, you get some younger people walk in, some couples or a gang or whatever, and the women are there and they just want to get a drink with their friends. And suddenly it's, you know, the modern day equivalent of, hey, you know, what's your name? What's your sign? Where are you from? It's like, just don't let them order their drinks and go, pal. They're not going to suddenly take a shine to you. So
no, I've seen some weird things.
Got one comment on Facebook. Brett Favre came in to replace the Magic Man when Mikowski got hurt, and the rest is history. So yeah, basically he was Wally Pipp, and then Brett Favre turned into Lou Gehrig, who came along after that. So, all right. So, guys, if you're going to a bar, and look, bars are still a fine place to meet people, just be aware that there is an age. There's a line. Below that line, the things that you say, they're kind of cute and charming and flirty,
and then
you know, and
creepy.
Maybe even attractive. And then above that line, you can say the exact same words, but they now come off as ick.
Yeah.
They now come off as inappropriate, and you just shouldn't go there, you know. Just
I'm having weird weird.
and especially if you've got like any kind of celebrity. I mean, I can't even imagine it. Hey, you know, I used to be the 6 and 10 o'clock anchor here in Eau Claire, you know. And they'd be like, what they do is they'd say, oh yeah, I remember I was 4 years old, you know, when you were on TV. Like that'll
stop talking to me in this bar. I'm trying to drink a beer. Go away.
Yes, please, grandpa, just take your glass of Metamucil and go over there. Yeah. That's all we would appreciate. So, anyway, to wrap up our story with Don Mikowski, I believe the disorderly conduct citation comes with a $213 fine or something like that, which I'm hoping the NFL paid well enough that he was able to take care of that and maybe find other bars to drink at going forward.
That's the main thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Please just do that for us if you can. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. The state budget is a done deal, but there's still plenty of things that the Wisconsin legislature could be working on, should be working on. We'll talk to Dan all about that in just a bit. From the heart of America's up north, live from the lake, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning residents to keep an eye on their season tickets for the Packers, Brewers, Bucks, and Badgers. Agency officials say a number of sports fans in the state have recently reported that their season tickets were stolen by scammers who accessed their accounts and transferred the tickets to another account. The DATCP is reminding residents never to share their passwords, not to click suspicious email or text links, and to use multi-factor authentication for additional security. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources recently introduced new rule changes for recycling programs in multifamily buildings across the state. According to the new rule modifications, owners and managers of multifamily properties must provide an equal or greater ratio of recycling containers to trash containers. They must also provide enough recycling space to cover 20 gallons per week per dwelling unit. The rule changes further require haulers and material recovery facilities to provide recycling tonnage data to their municipalities each year. The Lakeland Family Resource Center is inviting Spooner area residents to an open house and ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate their accreditation as a Family Resource Center of Quality by Thriving Wisconsin. The facility received the accreditation for demonstrating its ability to engage in robust professional development, including evidence-based programs in parenting support, resource coordination, and early childhood services. The open house and ribbon-cutting ceremony will take place at their Spooner facility on September 24th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Rice Lake area residents are expressing concerns over plans for a massive new park at the former Lakeview Hospital site. City officials held an informational session on the project last week where residents expressed concerns over the cost of the project, the availability of parking in the area, and the potential for increased noise and crime. Early plans for the park include an amphitheater with enough space for around 3,000 people. City officials said the early plans are more of a wish list at this time and that the park could help drive economic growth. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Last week, I said that summer blockbuster season at the theaters was officially over, but it appears that no one told The Conjuring last rites. Prognosticators guesstimated that the film would pull in roughly $80 million worldwide. The film opened in first place this past weekend, surpassing the predicted amount in the U.S. alone with $83 million and pulled in $187 million worldwide. Good for the third largest opening ever domestically or globally for a horror film. For Warner Brothers, this was their eighth number one opening of the year and the seventh film in 2025 that has opened with a take of more than $40 million, something no studio has ever achieved, according to Deadline. Hamilton opened in limited release and came in second place with $10 million, and it was more horror as Warner Brothers' Weapons came in third place and now has raked in $143 million in 5 weeks. Freakier Friday and Caught Stealing finished in fourth and fifth place, respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. A slow-moving frontal boundary will generate a few showers and maybe a couple of thundershowers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with highs in the upper 60s. A shower thunderstorm still lingering tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 57. Current temperature, 61 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes called Sensen.
Kind of tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Tomorrow on the program, in our homeroom segment, we're going to talk about a new campaign that helps taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of their wallets and out of our hometown schools. Heather Dubois-Bornon will be along to do that with us. Let's see, we'll have Amy Berlew from Clean Wisconsin on Wisconsin's data center boom and the environment. We'll be checking in with our civic media friends, and we got lots of them. We got Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids. We've got Jim Koska in Boscobel, James Kelly in Chippewa Falls, and Earl Ingram from Milwaukee will tell us what's happening with the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. All of that tomorrow here on the program. But today, we have Dan Schaefer, civic media political editor from the Recombobulation area down there in beautiful Milwaukee, where the Milwaukee County executive in the Wee Smalls made it official that he is now a candidate for governor. Dan Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I am doing well, and it is always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
We appreciate it so very much. And so you will obviously have more familiarity with David Crawley than we will up here in the Chippewa Valley, though Crawley was here about 2 weeks ago visiting an affordable housing program that's up here and talking a bit about what he's done for affordable housing. And he said, you know, that a decision was coming in the next few weeks. So clearly we are now in the next few weeks where David Crawley becomes the second Democrat running for governor, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. So Dan, as the person from that corner of the state, how would you give us your 30,000 foot view of the county executive, David Crawley?
Yeah, David Crawley is somebody I have a very positive opinion of from being here in southeastern Wisconsin, being in Milwaukee. I actually, in the very early days of the Recombobulation area, I endorsed David Crawley in the race for Milwaukee County Executive after doing a series of interviews with all of the candidates. And Crawley really, you know, ran as a bridge builder, trying to bring Milwaukee County together, trying to solve some of its big problems. And I think in the last 5 years that he's been at the helm in Milwaukee County, he's done a terrific job. But I think as far as being, you know, a statewide candidate, I think, you know, someone from Milwaukee always is going to have some sort of baggage about being from Milwaukee when it's running a statewide race. Candidates from around here, you know, can be painted with a certain brush. And I do wonder if his name recognition outside of the southeastern Wisconsin market, where I think he is well known and well liked, is going to be the same as some other candidates who might have a little bit more of a statewide presence. So, but I think, you know, he's somebody that I wrote a piece about the potential candidates who might be running for governor at the Recombobulation area last month, my too early look at the race for governor. And I talked about David Crawley a little bit. And I think, you know, of anyone on the Democratic side who is running for the race, anybody who is running for governor, really, I think David Crawley has the highest upside of anybody potentially running in this race. I think he is a potentially very dynamic and interesting candidate. And I'm excited to see what his message is going to be and how voters respond to him once he really hits the campaign trail.
Yeah. Now, Crawley, who's 39 years old, is vying to become the state's first Black governor. Rodriguez would be the first woman elected to the post. And they would both tell you that is neither one of those. That's not why they're running. Crawley says he wants to be a governor for everybody. He wants to focus on lowering costs for families, affordable health care and housing, fully funding public schools. The Associated Press write-up notes that Crawley grew up in the 53206, the zip code that a 2013 UWM study found was the most incarcerated zip code in the country, with the majority of men who live there having spent time behind bars. The area is known for high rates of poverty, a high concentration of vacant lots, and poor health care. And Crowley does not shy away from that in his launch video, which we may listen to in a little while here. But he leans into it, talks about his family once being homeless and then becoming a community organizer. And we have seen a growing share of folks, Dan, from the 53206, who are saying, I don't want to be tagged as just that. There is so much more that our community can do, but somebody's got to be fighting for them, you know, out beyond the boundaries of their zip code.
Yeah, this is, you know, a part of Milwaukee. Milwaukee, obviously, as we know, is one of the most segregated cities, major cities in the country. It has some parts of the city that battle really extreme poverty, experience a lot of gun violence. And, you know, this 53206 neighborhood has, you know, has been really kind of the heart of where a lot of these problems lie in the city. And I think David Crowley has talked about growing up in this neighborhood. Mandela Barnes has talked about growing up in this neighborhood. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson has talked about growing up in this neighborhood. And I think it is shaping a generation of new leaders in the city who have grown up in this type of environment and want to make a difference. And yes, I think David Crowley is not shying away from that. I think he's got a pretty interesting personal story. You know, getting involved with some nonprofit organizations in Milwaukee after growing up, you know, in kind of a difficult situation. I believe he, his family was evicted from their home a number of different times living in the city, but he found his calling in public service and has, you know, really been a rising star in Milwaukee politics for the last decade or so. He was a state assembly representative for a number of terms and then ran for county executive in 2020. And what a time to begin that job, too. But yeah. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think he can stand out in a field of potentially large field of Democratic candidates that we might be seeing here as somebody with executive experience. And I think that is something he's going to lean into as well. You know, some of the other folks who, you know, might have, you know, might be in the legislature or whatever it might be. The fact that he's run the most populous county in the state for the past 5 years, I think is something that is going to afford them opportunity to stand out. And again, like you mentioned, he's 39. He's a young guy. He's an energetic guy. He's very personable as well. And, you know, I did an event with Crowley a couple of years ago in Milwaukee where it was like a live podcast interview that we did at Anodyne Coffee at Walker's Point. And before he came on stage to talk with me at that event, he stopped at every single table and introduced himself and was cracking jokes. And I think he's a pretty dynamic retail politician, too. And it's going to be interesting to see how people respond to him when he's getting around the state for this campaign.
We are talking to Dan Schaefer, the political editor for Civic Media and founder of The Recombobulation Area. You can subscribe to that over at therecombobulationarea.news. Crowley at 39 would be one of the younger candidates in the race. You've got Sarah Rodriguez, who is 50. Potential candidates, Senator Kelda Royes is 46. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is 38. Attorney General Josh Call is 44. You've got Washington County Executive Josh Shulman on the Republican side, who is 43. And then you've got suburban Milwaukee businessman Bill Berrien, who is 56. All of that by comparison to Tony Evers, who is 73. And you, of course, Dan, are quite familiar with the whole notion of Democrats and passing the torch. And so whether it's one of these younger Democrats or one of the younger Republicans, you know, we are seeing a bit of a generational shift at the tops of tickets in politics these days.
Yeah, and I think it's a welcome shift in a lot of ways, and an overdue one in a lot of ways. You know, I think there were statistics, particularly about the U.S. Senate, showing that it is as old as it has ever been. I believe the statistic that I dug up when I was writing that piece this year, there are more senators over the age of 80 than there are under the age of 50 and in our politics. And I think that needs to change. I think we part of the problem with having older politicians is, you know, you failure to connect with what younger generations are looking for in their politics. And I think we're seeing this divide between, you know, millennial and Gen Z politics and some of the boomer politics of the past. And I think we need to, one of the real fault lines in our politics is this generational divide that I think some older politicians have not spoken to. So I think for younger people, for younger families, I think having younger candidates can understand the issues that people are facing is really a benefit. And I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
Well, there's nothing beneficial about the flash flooding that hit Milwaukee. It is, from a timing standpoint, it works well for Crowley in this way. He has been able to highlight what the county has done in the wake of the flash flooding damage. The ball is now in the court of FEMA and Donald Trump and the whims of Donald Trump in terms of declarations and things like that. Crowley targeted Donald Trump in his launch video, as did Sarah Rodriguez, who called Trump a maniac in her launch video. And so, Dan, in the race for governor, which is going to be seen as a midterm referendum on the Trump presidency so far, is it smart politics that any Democratic candidate is also throwing some punches Donald Trump's way?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it is. You know, clearly everything that's happening in American politics right now is going to be viewed through the prism of what's happening with the Trump administration. And as the one big, beautiful bill starts rolling downhill, I think we're going to see some really damaging impacts of that. You know, we saw some polling on the bill earlier this week, and it was way underwater. Trump's approval rating is very low, you know, and we've seen time and time again that when he is not on the ballot, that does not drive turnout for Republican voters. And so I do think, you know, Wisconsin being the swing state that it is, it's going to have all eyes on us for any kind of statewide race. You know, obviously this is a little bit different than it might be for like a U.S. Senate race that might have the obvious more national implications, but it's still Wisconsin. And it's still, you know, we saw how much attention was paid to us for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Obviously it's going to be a similar type of dynamic for the midterms as well as we look ahead to the governor's race. And so everything is in the shadow of Trump, as much as we might not like that so much.
No, but it is. And it's been that way with every presidency. And there's a lot to talk about with this presidency, that any candidate on any ballot for any race is going to be asked their thoughts and whether they essentially stand with Trump or do they, you know, vow to fight for, you know, their constituents rather than the whims of a president. So they're, you know, there's really not that much downside to mentioning the president, and especially one that is this far underwater, basically. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area here, and just a couple minutes before we take a break, which is probably all the time we should probably leave for it, but there is drama in the Assembly Democratic Caucus. One of the members is no longer a member of the caucus. And that's fine with many of the other members of the Assembly Democratic Caucus. And I can say, from having been in the Senate Democratic Caucus, or anybody in any of these legislative caucuses, you don't always all work and play well together, especially if there is, shall we say, a character amongst you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of issues surrounding Milwaukee area State Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez, who had her access to the Capitol restricted after some, it sounds like some threats that she made to fellow Democratic legislators. She has since left the Democratic caucus, giving them one fewer Democrat in the ranks there. Fortunately, the margins are not so tight, as this does no longer give Republicans a supermajority the way it may have under previous gerrymandered maps. But yeah, this is, I believe there's going to be more information on this coming soon. It's a pretty wild story, you know, and the fact that she has left the Democratic caucus over this, not leaving, you know, she's still a Democrat. She has actually endorsed Sarah Rodriguez in the race for governor. But the fact that she is leaving the Democratic caucus among, you know, these growing tensions with some other fellow Democrats there, it's a pretty wild story.
Yeah. And look, you can say that you are prone to engaging in hyperbole, and that's fine. But when you mix that with, you know, making references to weaponry, that can be a real problem. And that is one that, again, is dealt with in plenty of other workplaces as well. And you try to take those kinds of threats seriously. And that they're just some things you don't joke about. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Got some Brewers baseball for you tonight. Coverage begins at 6:30 as the Brewers take on the Texas Rangers in game two of their three-game series. The Brewers were blanked yesterday for only the 11th time this season, 5-0. Jose Quintana was perfect through the first four innings, then not so much. However, the Cubs also lost, so the Brewers could clinch a spot in the playoffs today. Their magic number is 2 to get into the postseason. Their magic number is 11 to clinch the National League Central Division, and the magic number is 12 to have the best record and the number one seed. So you might want to keep on listening to the Brewers taking on the Rangers. Again, 6:30 this evening is when the pregame gets started. We're talking to Dan Schaefer now from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor. And we spent the first segment talking a bit about David Crawley making the announcement that he would be running for Wisconsin governor. But there are other topics out there as well, other candidacies, including Secretary of State, because Sarah Godlewski is running for lieutenant governor. Right. So where are these pieces starting to fall together, or are we still way too early in the process?
It's early in the process, but we're seeing how some of this is going to the domino effect of some of these candidacies. So because Sarah Rodriguez, our current lieutenant governor, is running for governor, that will leave that lieutenant governor spot open. So Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski going from Secretary of State to running for lieutenant governor. And now we have a couple folks running for Secretary of State as well. One announced yesterday, Colin McNamara, who's from central Wisconsin, Stevens Point area. He launched his campaign. He says he's been an active member of the Portage and Waupaca County Democratic parties. He ran for state Senate unsuccessfully against a Republican incumbent in the last cycle. And then we also have Milwaukee alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa, who launched her campaign last week for Secretary of State. She's currently on the Milwaukee Common Council, and she served in the Wisconsin State Legislature for several terms in the 2010s as well. So, you know, we're getting a couple candidates making the run for statewide office. Maybe we'll have a primary. Who knows? It's very, very early, but interesting to see some of these candidates getting into the mix here.
I think that all Democratic voters need to get used to the idea of showing up next August for their primary, not just for governor, Secretary of State, perhaps for a lieutenant governor, maybe attorney general, but also for some legislative races. For example, in Southwest Wisconsin, in the 17th State Senate District, which is currently represented by Republican Howard Markline, who's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, there's already one Democratic candidate, and that would be State Representative Jaina Jacobson. But I know that child care provider Corrine Hendrickson from New Glarus, who has now had to shut down her child care center, a longtime advocate for child care support in the state budget, had been considering a run for state Senate, also in that 17th district. And Dan, you and I saw notes that a campaign committee registration had been filed. Now, that does not necessarily mean that you're about to announce a campaign, but, you know, you're starting to get your paperwork in order. And I can say that Corrine Hendrickson will be with us 1 week from tomorrow to make some kind of an announcement, and does have an event planned. So the upshot of all this, Dan, is that Democratic voters probably need to get used to the notion that there will be multiple primaries come August that they need to weigh in on.
Yeah, primaries are not a bad thing. I think the Democrats have avoided primaries in certain respects to their detriment. And I think we have to get back to a place where people having these conversations are able to be critical. And I think there is kind of this iron sharpens iron quality that can come from having these competitive primaries to get you ready for the general election stretch run, when you're going to hit with you know, all kinds of, you know, super PAC ads and crazy attacks and whatever it might be. But I'm very interested to see what Corrine Hendrickson is going to do next. And she is somebody who's been a guest columnist at times at the Recombobulation area. I'm certainly familiar with her work advocating for childcare. She was really the face of childcare advocacy in Wisconsin for the past few years. And you know, I'm really very interested to see what she's going to do next. And I imagine that, you know, There may be more high-profile candidates. There may be candidates who have better paths to victory. No one is going to outwork Corrine Hendrickson in a campaign like this. She is a dedicated person, that's for sure.
Yeah, some of us were, you know, we first saw her in testimony before Congress on the issue of child care. And I think a lot of people were very happy to see her take on that role as being a leading spokesperson on the issue. But as she has told us on this program, that connects to every other issue out there. And she has certainly talked about those connections. And so when she is with us 1 week from tomorrow, it may be quite possible that she gives all the specifics on what it is that she wants to get into next. We've got about 2 minutes left here, so that's just enough time to talk about. We talked about the drama in the Assembly Democratic Caucus, but the Assembly itself is meeting. The fall session is getting underway in earnest. So, again, some non-budget bills are going to be considered. Are you following anything in particular?
Yeah, there's a, you know, there's a few things working through the assembly right now. The Senate doesn't seem to have anything on its calendar. I don't know if they're going to be doing anything between now and the end of the month, which would be a real real problem for those homeless veterans facilities that are need funding to stay open before the end of the month. So hopefully the Senate gets back in gear and schedules some things too. But the assembly has a number of committee meetings this week and also a floor session on Thursday as well. I believe they are taking up at least three bills that have already passed through the Senate. So some stuff might actually be getting over the finish line in the Wisconsin state legislature and, you know, not in the budget cycle here. So we'll see what exactly that's is going to come from that. You know, and then I think they'll be voting on a number of bills and we'll see if both chambers of the Wisconsin state legislature can get some things done here in the fall.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Sign up at the recombobulationarea.news. Dan, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
You bet. Coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show at 5:30 this evening, we will hear from Stacey Abrams, former candidate in Georgia, being part of CapTime's Idea Fest and the work to defend DEI against ongoing attacks. Again, that's coming up at 5:30. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for being a part of things here on our mornings powered by Up North News. You hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning right back here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. An explosion ringing out in Qatar's capital city of Doha. It's not exactly clear what exploded. Meantime, Israel says its air force has carried out a targeted strike against Hamas leaders, but Israel won't say where. President Trump decrying the letter and drawing attributed to him in the so-called birthday book, a present for sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Trump denying that he wrote and drew it as more lawmakers push for a vote on releasing all the Epstein information the Justice Department has.
That push to force a vote up here on Capitol Hill to release all of the FBI's Epstein files is just two signatures away from becoming a reality. Its GOP leader, Congressman Thomas Massie, can either convince two of his Republican colleagues to sign on, or he can just wait until about the end of the month when two more special elections will likely add two more Democrats to Congress.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, Supreme Court allowing immigration raids to resume in Los Angeles. This is ABC News.